Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 49. Dear Lord and Father of us all, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful mind. In purer lives thy service find. In deeper reverence praise. Hymn number 49. The scriptural this morning will be given by David from Florida.
Deuteronomy. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure,
We will now have a moment of silent prayer and then follow with the repetition of the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our
Father, which art in heaven.
Our Father, Mother, God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 332. The Lord is in his holy place, let all the earth be still. Be still and know that he is God, and wait to do his will. We need a sacred watchfulness, an earnest deep desire for grace, our lives with true content to fill. Hymn number 332.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin every Sunday morning here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, which is a training session in Christian Science. And we had a really good one this morning. So if you didn't catch it, you can find it on our website, plainfieldcs.com. You can also find it on our YouTube channel. We have a Sunday school for children that meets every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. And that Sunday school has its own teleconference number so that any child anywhere in the world can attend by phone if they so like to do so. So if you don't live in the area, and if you have a child of Sunday school age, please call us. We'll give you the number, and we'll be very happy to welcome your child to our Sunday school. And we have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15, where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives saved through the study and practice of Christian Science. And at all of our services, we have a nursery for infants and toddlers. And there's plenty of room. And we are going to have another Bible study this coming Saturday, June 5th. It will be our last Bible study this season until before our summer break, before we pick it up again in September. So check the website for study questions, and please join us this coming Saturday at 10 a.m. You'll be glad you did. And for those of you in Plainfield who you haven't picked up your June full-text lesson sermon booklet, please be sure to do so. You will need it soon. There's an article that's featured on our website that I'd like to recommend, point out. It's one article by William Rathbone, one of the old-time workers, entitled, "One with God is a Majority, and You Are That One." Excellent article. And everyone is welcome here. And that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. And now we will have the reading of a testimony from Miscellaneous Writings, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Shahidat from Maryland.
From page 417. In the February journal, it appears there is someone who says that science and health with key to the scriptures is hard to understand and who thinks she can explain it. Perhaps my experience with science and health may help someone who might otherwise take up this thought and so be led away from the truth. After reading and studying it for some time and talking to the scientists I met in my travels, the thought came to me, why not try these truths on yourself? I did so, and to my surprise and great joy, I found immediate relief. Dyspepsia, the trouble of most common travelers, cholera, and many lesser beliefs left me, so that in a short time I was a well man, and by no other means than trusting to the Savior's promises as explained in Science and Health. This took place while I was traveling about the country. On my return home, I gave my wife treatments. In many instances, the blessing came before the treatment was finished, and often we proved that only a thought of the power of truth was sufficient to give relief. One Sunday morning, soon after my return, a friend called and asked if I could give him anything to relieve his wife, who he said had been suffering for some days with rheumatism in her shoulder so severely that she could neither dress alone nor comb her hair. I told him that the only medicine we had in the house was Christian Science. He laughed at the idea, but before he left, He asked if I could give his wife a treatment. I told him I was very young in science, but if she wished it, I would. He went home but returned immediately, saying she wished me to come. Then I asked help from the Fountain of Truth and started my very first treatment to be given away from home. When I left their room 15 minutes later, she was shaking her hand high above her head and exclaiming, "I am all right. I am well." That was in November 1887, and she's had no return of the belief since. A friend told me that his son, 12 years old, had cataracts so badly that his breath was very offensive. His throat troubled him all the time, and he had been deaf since he had the measles. In less than 3 weeks, both beliefs vanished. This was a case of absent treatment. I could give you other cases, but I think I have said enough to prove that science and health is not hard to understand, for my work has all been done without my ever attending class. From HHB, New York City.
The lesson sermon for this morning can be found on page 18 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: Ancient and Modern Necromancy, alias Mesmerism and Hypnotism, Denounced. The Golden Text, 1 John. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. The responsive reading, 1 Peter. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time.
Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
Whom resists steadfast in the faith.
But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you.
To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Craig will now read.
The Bible, 2 Thessalonians. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. 2 Timothy. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. 1 Kings. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, What went he? What way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, Saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And he went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak tree. And he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that cameth from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, Come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, Thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him, and did eat bread in his house, and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried, unto the man of God that came back from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Forasmuch as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, but camest back, and hast eaten bread, and drunk water in the place, of which the Lord did say unto thee, Eat no bread, and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come into the sepulchre of thy fathers. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. Psalms. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto the God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon thy harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Ephesians. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen.
Amanda from Missouri will now read.
I will read correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Mesmerism, or animal magnetism, was first brought into notice by Mesmer in Germany in 1775. According to the American Encyclopedia, he regarded this so-called force, which he said could be exerted by one living organism over another, as a means of alleviating disease. His propositions were as follows. There exists a mutual influence between the celestial bodies, the earth, and animated things. Animal bodies are susceptible to the influence of this agent, disseminating itself through the substance of the nerves. The author's own observations of the workings of animal magnetism convince her that it is not a remedial agent, and that its effects upon those who practice it, and upon their subjects who do not resist it, lead to moral and to physical death. If animal magnetism seems to alleviate or to cure disease, this appearance is deceptive, since error cannot remove the effects of error. Discomfort under error is preferable to comfort. In no instance is the effect of animal magnetism, recently called hypnotism, other than the effect of illusion. any seeming benefit derived from it is proportional to one's faith in esoteric magic. Animal magnetism has no scientific foundation, for God governs all that is real, harmonious, and eternal, and His power is neither animal nor human. Its basis being a belief, and this belief animal, in science, animal magnetism, mesmerism, or hypnotism is a mere negation, possessing neither intelligence, power, nor reality. And in sense, it is an unreal concept of the so-called mortal mind. There is but one real attraction, that of spirit. The pointing of the needle to the pole symbolizes this all-embracing power, or the attraction of God, divine mind. The mild forms of animal magnetism are disappearing, and its aggressive features are coming to the front. The looms of crime, hidden in the dark recesses of mortal thought, are every hour weaving webs more complicated and subtle. So secret are the present methods of animal magnetism that they ensnare the age into indolence and produce the very apathy on the subject which the criminal desires. Lulled by stupefying illusions, the world is asleep in the cradle of infancy, dreaming away the hours. Material sense does not unfold the facts of existence, but spiritual sense lifts human consciousness into eternal truth. Humanity advances slowly out of sinning sense into spiritual understanding. Unwillingness to learn all things rightly binds Christendom with chains. Mankind must learn that evil is not power. Its so-called despotism is but a phase of nothingness. Christian science despoils the kingdom of evil and preeminently promotes affection and virtue in families and therefore in the community. The Apostle Paul refers to the personification of evil as the god of this world, and further defines it as dishonesty and craftiness. The maximum of good is the infinite God and His idea, the all in all. Evil is a suppositional lie. In reality, there is no mortal mind, and consequently, no transference of mortal thought and willpower. Life and being are of God. In Christian science, man can do no harm, for scientific thoughts are true thoughts, passing from God to man. When Christian science and animal magnetism are both comprehended, as they will be at no distant date, it will be seen why the author of this book has been so unjustly persecuted and belied by wolves in sheep's clothing. Whoever uses his developed mental powers, like an escaped felon, to commit fresh atrocities as opportunity occurs, is never safe. God will arrest him. Divine justice will manacle him. His sins will be millstones about his neck, weighing him down to the depths of ignominy and death. The aggravation of error foretells its doom and confirms the ancient axiom, whom the gods would destroy, they first make mad. Let truth uncover and destroy error in God's own way, and let human justice pattern the divine. Sin will receive its full penalty, both for what it is and for what it does. Justice marks the sinner and teaches mortals not to remove the waymarks of God. To envy's own hell, justice consigns the lie witch to advance itself, breaks God's commandments. The darkest hour precedes the dawn. This material world is even now becoming the arena for conflicting forces. On one side, there will be discord and dismay. On the other side, there will be science and peace. The breaking up of material beliefs may seem to be famine and pestilence, want and woe, sin, sickness, and death, which assume new phases until their nothingness appears. These disturbances will continue until the end of error, when all discord will be swallowed up in spiritual truth. Mortal error will vanish in a moral chemicalization. This mental fermentation has begun and will continue until all errors of belief yield to understanding. Belief is changeable, but spiritual understanding is changeless. As this consummation draws nearer, he who has shaped his course in accordance with divine science will endure to the end. As material knowledge diminishes and spiritual understanding increases, real objects will be apprehended mentally instead of materially. During this final conflict, wicked minds will endeavor to find means by which to accomplish more evil. But those who discern Christian science will hold crime in check. They will aid in the ejection of error. They will maintain law and order and cheerfully await the certainty of ultimate perfection. The broadest facts array the most falsities against themselves, for they bring error from undercover. It requires courage to utter truth, for the higher truth lifts her voice, the louder will error scream, until its inarticulate sound is forever silenced in oblivion.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 207. The words of this hymn are by Mary Baker Eddy. O gentle presence, peace and joy and power, O life divine that owns each waiting hour, thou love that guards the nestling's faltering flight, keep thou my child on upward wing tonight. Hymn number 207.
Thank you.
Let's now sing hymn number 312. Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on, strong in the strength which God supplies through his eternal Son. Stand then in his great might, with all his strength endued, and take to arm you for the fight the panoply of God. Hymn number 312.
Thank you. I will read from the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen.